You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major Seventh. We've been a group of three of late. But the brothers are here. My man Jay Moore is in the building. How are you, sir?
Blessed and highly favored, you know.
Yeah.
Just out here, you know. Sometimes you'll be like, man, I'm just so busy. But then, you know, I think about, you know, when it wasn't that long ago when nobody was busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I got to bite my tongue when, you know, you complain about having to do a lot of running around. Because I remember when one point wasn't no running around to do.
Older I get, the more I realize that there's a lot of people that are doing worse than you're doing. Just be thankful for what you got.
Absolutely.
You have to look, you got to understand, there's somebody, and I know this is, I guess this is in the spirit of Thanksgiving, if you will. For those of you who do get down, there's somebody who literally looks at you and is like, man, I wish I had what they had. You
100%.
Know, you can be on some, man, if I won a lot, you know, when the lottery was up.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I get that $1 billion, I'm going to do this, that, and a third. There's somebody that's like, man, if I win $5,000, do you know that would change my life?
Change my whole life.
Yeah. You know.
It changed my whole life. That's facts.
You know, it really is a thing where you have to have perspective sometimes, because you can get to complaining sometimes about, you know, like you call them first world problems or just whatever. And then you realize, do you know how stupid I sound?
Yeah.
You know, and I have a job to go to. You know, I got a place to sleep. You know.
Yeah.
If I got a few minutes, I can just sit and turn on a TV.
Yeah.
You know, and not be bothered, you know. So
if you like Jay did, first of all, how are you, sir?
Salutations.
I know you sit in the Spike Lee chair, so you know it's you've been doing a good job, by the way, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, Shout out to Lone.
Yeah, Lone is he's Mr. Miyagi on that. He put you on game. Don't start, because I don't want to say about anything. No child labor. We ain't doing that.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You brought it up, not me. I didn't say anything about Mr. Miyagi.
No, he put wisdom.
But if given the opportunity, I will tell you about Mr. Miyagi.
He put wisdom on Terry, and Terry's taking care of business. So,
absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Everything is irie, as they say in the islands. You know, as they've been calling it, low vibration plate week.
Oh yeah.
I don't totally get what that means. Maybe I just didn't invest enough time in to figure it out.
You'd have to break that down for me.
I know where they're going with that, because there's some woman who considers herself to be a life coach. I can't remember her name. I didn't commit it to memory. It doesn't matter to me that much. And she had this event for other women, and it was an event where you had hot dogs and hamburgers and she sat down while she's literally eating the same thing, and she looked at another woman's plate and said, that plate is low vibrational. This is what I have here is the plate of a queen or whatever. And what you have is a hood rat plate. And I was like, y'all are eating the same thing.
I'm all for a hood rat plate. My greens, macaroni and cheese, and yams probably are going to be separated by nothing. They're all going to be touching.
I had this conversation yesterday with my mother. Mm-hmm. And I told her how people try to play me when I say my food interchange, like it goes
together. It can intermingle.
I don't separate. Like if the plate is green, it's going to sound fat. If it's greens, macaroni and cheese,
dressing over stuffing all day.
Yeah, we don't do stuffing.
No stovetop action?
No.
Okay. Nah. Now we ain't got time for that. But what I'm saying is I might dip in two or three things and eat good.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad we're on the same page. I know people that are like, you can't separate. You have to keep the food separated.
No, you don't. It's just like a sandwich. Like there was an event last week that we were a part of that there was a sandwich that had cranberry sauce, turkey, and something else on. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was the marriage, the perfect marriage of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then the soul food tacos had greens, macaroni and cheese, and I want to say short rib.
I missed it. I was at shout out to everybody who performed at the Tonic Bowl.
Yeah.
But
saw footage of that, looked really good, real good, by the way.
Yeah, they did at the Outcast, we were on the Outcast stage.
Shout out to the Brothers Footman, that's my homie.
Yeah, that was incredible. You know, Mr. Kinetic and Bashir.
I saw Mr. Kinetic, yeah. Yeah, shout out to those brothers, man.
Yeah, man, a lot of great performances. But yeah, I was mad. I was conflicted because I was like, oh man, I really want to do this event, but I'm gonna miss that food.
Where are you at with the food concept of mixing?
Honestly, man,
be careful now.
Look, man, I'm one of them kids. It did not mind when you had to eat at the kids' table.
Yeah,
they didn't give you actually any flatware. You know, you had to get the plate. It might have been the good paper plates, but
it was
like
flimsy.
No, if it was always certain family stuff. Members, you might be able to get the paper plate that had the little sections.
Oh,
and I would use those sections because I did not like my food touching. And plus, like, really? I'm not a huge holiday food eater. Like, oh, I like a piece of turkey. A little bit of dressing. My mom always like, do you like dressing? Like, she's surprised by it every year, but I do like dressing. But I'm not much for greens.
Oh, man.
No chitlins.
I'm cool on chitlins.
Yeah, I can pass.
You know, but if you got the good rolls.
If Lone is in the chat.
Cranberry sauce.
Lone, if you're in the chat, let us know if you eat chitlins or not.
You know the answer.
I don't know.
You do, because I think we've had this conversation.
No, we haven't. Not on chitlins. Not on chitlins.
I think we did.
Shout out to Smooth Hoosiers in the building. Lone, I see Lone. Lone says no. Brother to the Night is in the building. We see you, brother.
Yo, what up?
Yeah.
You know, but
Smooth Hoosiers said no slave food. I'm with that. Well, some of it get a pass, but that's not one of them.
Look,
that's the one that where I draw the line.
Yeah.
I can shout him out, Mr. Kinetic. Yeah. You know, he cooks.
Yeah,
he's quite the, you know, he gets down in the kitchen.
You're busy, huh?
But the thing is, like, if he's gonna cook, he's gonna cook what he wants for Thanksgiving.
Hey,
so I remember it was one year after we got done at the Jazz Kitchen. I said, so what you cooking this year, man? He's like, I'm gonna do a brisket.
Ooh.
Like, so he's like, you know, traditional food be damed. If you want to cook brisket, then we gonna have brisket.
That's what we gonna do. Hey, I'm with that. I'm all for non-traditional things of that nature. Like, we had actually had a crab boil for a Friendsgiving, like, right before pandemic hit. So, every year, we try to do that. Because I'm all for the non-traditional, and I'm not, like, a huge fan of turkey. Like,
look,
unless it's, like, a fried turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Or, my dad or can fry turkey.
I've yet to have, I'll openly confess, I've yet to have a fried turkey. I've never experienced
it. Honestly, it'll change your life.
It's like that, huh?
Yeah, man. You can't. It's kind of, you know, don't get me wrong. I know people who can really, you know, they can really hook up a turkey. But if you know how to get the seasoning injected into the turkey.
You got
to
put that butter. You got to put, you got to brine it, first of all. Brine
it overnight. I have to do what?
Brine.
You don't know about brining?
I mean, I don't fry.
That I had, you can.
Does that have anything to do with frying?
Yeah, brine it.
What is, please put me on game for brining.
That's, I mean, there's different kinds of brine. So you can get like get some salt, you get like some broth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's other stuff you can
locks
add to
that
it
flavor
too.
In.
Yeah.
You know.
And you just pretty much submerge
the
meat into that overnight.
Okay.
Do that. And then, of course, when you're done doing that, you want to season it under the skin, not just on top.
I peep that when I see the videos I'll be telling you about. They do go all the way.
Yeah, you got to go up under there, man. You got to, with a turkey, you got to pretty much take all his innards out too.
Okay.
So you got to do that. People, that's how you know people don't know what they're doing. They leave the bag in there.
I learned something today.
And then just doing the turkey wrong.
Yeah. Okay. You can't do that. Like, there's a neck in there too. Like, mm-hmm. they
some people mess
they
with the
give
turkey
you
neck
neck
for flavor.
Yeah.
Well,
or they cook the greens. They put the turkey in greens.
Put them in greens. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's definitely a science and an art to cooking a good turkey.
I'm about to try
9 times out of 10. Most places, I ain't gonna discredit everybody. In my experience, 9 times out of 10,
yeah.
I don't really care for the turkey. Like,
turkey is cool. It's all the rest of stuff that we was talking about. That's what I look forward to.
No, my turkey dad at cool. one point, like,
I'll take a slice of ham and be straight.
A fried turkey, like, he was cooking our fried turkey, and then he was hooking up fried turkeys for others. Like, you know, he had it down, and then he was
taking orders.
He was taking orders. Then,
hey,
then,
yeah.
Then he found out he got, instead of doing the real dangerous one, I got a story about that. Now you can get an electric turkey.
Yeah,
fryer.
You can get an electric one.
You know, because at one point you had to get the butane and the gas, and
I saw some stuff on IG where that went bad.
And you got to make sure
I didn't see it on IG. I did it.
Not still frozen.
yeah.
That's even putting it in the oven. The mug will explode.
Yeah.
You can't cook a frozen turkey.
I would think not.
No. Well. So there was one year like I had a newer job, so I couldn't go with wherever my family was going. I couldn't go. So I decided, my girlfriend at the time was, you know, in medical school, so she couldn't go home either.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, I'm going to fry a turkey.
That's what you said.
I saw the steps and don't, you know, because a lot of times people mess up the turkey frying because they don't understand liquid displacement. The same way you don't fill the tub all the way to the top when you're about to get in. You know, you got to do the measurements. So I'd done all the measurements. I got the right oil.
Yeah.
Everything was smooth. So I got the heat up. Seemed like everything was going all right. Then all of a sudden, just the top of the oil caught on fire. So I was like,
this ain't good.
This ain't good.
I was like,
okay, well, maybe that's, you know, that'll dissipate in a little while, and it didn't. And then all of a sudden, like, the fire was kind of high, and I was like, and at one point, I thought, well, maybe if I drop the turkey,
and it's oil,
yeah. And so I was like, okay, this isn't getting any better. Let me go ahead and call the Baldwin fire department.
Yeah.
And so they had to run out there and put the fire out. And there was just, now luckily I was smart enough not to try to do it in the garage,
right.
on the wood deck.
I'd be a little bit further away from the house.
Yeah, it was in no danger of burning the house down.
It's the wrong thing.
You know.
It happened in an instant.
You know, so instead of having a turkey fried and ready to go after 45 minutes, depending on the size of turkey. I didn't ever try to fry a turkey again, so I may be wrong on the timing. I had to go ahead and luckily I hadn't dropped the turkey in, so I just went ahead and cooked it the traditional way. So we had
ain't
to
nothing
wait
wrong with that.
We had to wait an extra 3-4 hours.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But with that said, I learned how to cook a turkey.
Yeah. I ain't mad at you, brother.
But yeah, so if you are out here frying turkeys and you have never done it before, please take all proper precautions so you do not burn your house down.
Do your due diligence and education that you need in order to do that.
Figure
YouTube
out,
got some good stuff.
Liquid 100%. Displacement is something that you need to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the chat as well. Macalades says, yo, this is I love this podcast. Long put me on last year and I've been a fan ever since. Appreciate that.
Right on.
That's what's up. Let's go ahead and I guess we can get started into our actual rundown for this evening. I want to try the Gobernator's topic first. Shout out to the Gobernator. He's a member of the squad. He's always in the chat. We appreciate you. Up and coming super producer as well. That's my guy. But he asked in Discord about our favorite concerts that we've attended and why. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I'll go first. For me, it was a show that DJ Premier threw at, what's the name of the spot in Wrigleyville? Oh, my God. What's the name of the theater? If you're from Chicago, you know it's right down the street from the stadium. I have to look it up. But it was a show that Primo threw. I think Common was there. It was a couple other artists was there. And the show was fire. But I actually got a chance to meet Primo after the show.
Okay.
Like, everybody was tearing down everything. And one of my guys was with me. He has his camera, so we kind of tucked off backstage, and I got a chance to meet Premier. He was taking down all this stuff. I said, hey, what's going on, man? My name is Major 7. I'm a producer from Chicago, and I said, I'm a huge fan.
The lies.
I said, huge fan, man. You OG, I'm doing all that type of stuff. Not fanning out, but just giving him his flowers. He was like, that's what's up, man. I appreciate you. I said, yeah, man, I heard you on an interview. You were talking to Freddie Gibbs about the record I did with him. He was like, oh, that's you? I said, yeah. He was like, yo, I love that record, man. That's dope. Now, I want to pass out at this point, but I'm like, no, I'll keep it together. Because one of the goats told me he liked my record. But he was like, nah, man, keep doing your thing, man. Gibbs was telling me about you. That's heat. I like that joint. It's Mickey Halstead, right? I said, yeah, him and Gibbs. So that's by far my favorite concert experience because DJ Premier knew a record that I did.
That's what's up.
And told me that he liked it. You couldn't tell me nothing after that.
I can dig that.
So that's for me. That was it. That was it for me. What you got, Terry?
And my concert experience is extensive. I went to my first concert at 4.
I was about to say you can
maybe
go back to
5.
Go back to the 80s for some concerts.
And it'll show my age because it was Fresh Fest 84.
Wow,
man!
Okay. My mom actually took me and my older brother to Fresh Fest 84.
Who was on the bill?
Run DMC, Houdini, Nucleus, UTFO, I believe. Not UTFO.
I'd love to have a flyer from that show.
I actually want to get one redone and put it on my wall.
That'd be dope.
But I don't know if that was the best one because I couldn't really remember it like that. But just that experience of know, my introduction to hip hop.
Yeah.
Then and there.
I can see that.
Houdini was there. That's who I missed.
Okay.
But I want to say my best experience would have to be Wu-Tang Clan, Atari Teenage Riot, tour that came to Deer Creek.
Oh, this is the one they got.
No, yeah. that was with Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
the same one.
Okay, Atari Teenage Riot
was there,
okay,
too.
Okay.
But that concert was so lit. We bought tickets on the line, and I ended up in the third row.
How you get to the third row?
Well, back in the day, we would buy line tickets anyway there and right. kind of just sneak in, kind of to the back of the seats, though. But Wu-Tang was there, so we start inching forward a little bit, you know. And then Method Man was pretty much encouraging it. So he was like, what y'all doing way back here? The show's up here.
Come on up.
So after that, there was pandemonium. Ended up in the third row. Somebody actually got hurt bad. I want to say they might have died even, I think.
Really?
Yeah, that's why Wu-Tang couldn't come here as a group.
That's what it was. Okay.
Until this last concert.
Got it. I got
because
you.
Of that concert.
I got you.
But it was a wild concert, man. It was live. Everybody was there except for ODB. I think he might have been locked up at the time or something. But
the atmosphere was crazy, wasn't it?
Man, atmosphere was dumb, man.
Yeah, everybody. Because I know I'm in my mind as you talk about this, I'm envisioning people, everybody running to the front of the stage.
Yeah,
just to get closer, just off the strength of him saying that.
Yeah.
That right there is a vibe in itself.
He crowd surfed somebody, stole his shoe.
Oh, for real?
He stopped the show. It was like, I'm not going on until I get my shoe back.
Did they throw it back up there?
I threw it back up there.
Respect.
He cussed out the sound man. He had the whole crowd saying, F the sound man. It was an experience, man.
Bro, you really remember this. That's what's up.
It was an experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jay Moore, what you got for me? You got a concert experience that sticks out? Or
mine wasn't quite as rowdy. I remember my parents took my sister and I to go see Luther Vandross. Power of Love tour with opening act in Vogue. Now, mind you,
man.
I'm thinking, okay, I'll go see Dawn and the rest of the members of In Vogue.
Cindy, boy,
and
that's my,
Cindy was great, but she wasn't Dawn. She wasn't
Dawn.
That's
my favorite. I'm sorry. We can fight about that.
Yeah, well, you sure can. And and so I was like, yeah. And then when Luther came on, I was like, okay, I'll sit through this. Now, mind you, also, you know, when I was getting ready for the show, I was just going to throw on jeans,
yeah.
you know, starter sweatshirt or whatever I thought was fly at the time.
Nah.
It's like, no. We going to see Luther.
Luther.
Okay. All right. So you have, when you go to see Luther, you get dressed. You get dressed.
I put on them patent leather.
Dress shirt.
I know I had on a suit, and this is the 90s, mind you. So yeah. I had on my olive green.
There we go.
Suit,
yeah,
dress shoes, tie to go with it,
yeah.
So chrome tip on the edge of your shoe.
I didn't have all that.
That was a vibe.
That wasn't something that was really in my wheelhouse at the time.
All okay, right.
So you know, we go and then Luther comes on, and the thing is, if you have a certain age, you what I found out at the time is like I knew so much of Luther's music just through osmosis of growing up in a black household.
It's gonna happen.
Automatic.
It's gonna happen.
And so he came out there and it was like in the round.
Yeah.
See, and Luther, he did the coldest thing I'd ever seen any performer do since before. It just something that can't be topped, I don't feel like.
What was that?
He had the microphone in the middle of the stage.
Yeah.
He walks all the way to the side of the stage and he walks towards the microphone and lets out one note. He's and keeps walking, and the note is reverberating through the checker dome.
Yeah,
this is where the blues used to play.
Yeah,
and the crowd off one note goes wild. And the thing is, it was also the time when Lisa Fisher was one of his backup singers. For those of you who don't know, she sang the song "How Can I Ease the Pain." For those of you who are a little bit younger, that's the song that 3-6 Mafia sampled for Late Night Tip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
good job on the homework right there.
Yeah, so she came out and saying, "How can I ease the pain?" And everybody just goes crazy. And they ended the show singing "The Best Things of Life Are Free."
There were singers back then.
This was
Mo Money.
I mean, because the thing is, it wasn't just people getting on stage. It was lights and glittery jackets, yeah, and all this, yeah. It's still to this day, and I've been to so many shows since then.
Yeah,
there's nothing that has ever topped seeing Luther Vandross on the. I'm glad, you know, I got to see him before, you know, he transitioned to his spiritual essence, because I tell people, if you've was a show, I'm glad I put on my suit. It was weird because I saw maybe about a few rows in front of us was Ozzie Smith.
Yeah,
you know, St. Louis Cardinals legend.
Flipping,
he didn't do all that.
That's
but
one
it was
of my favorite players.
But you know, this just showed you how the crowd was. You know. They respected, hey, Ozzy's here for the show.
Yeah.
I just remember I was like, why does he
have some good tickets?
We had good tickets, but I'm thinking Ozzie Smith should have the best tickets in the world. He should have been a lot further up than he was.
Ozzy was probably trying to stay out the way and just enjoy the concert.
But you know what? He was able to go, and people respected Ozzy was there for the show to see Luther. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Invoke was good. It was good to see him. They had on some nice dresses
at the Black Expo.
But boy, that Luther Vandross, incredible. One of the, you know, for somebody who wasn't crazy with the dancing,
when you got talent and you can command a microphone like that, you don't need all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, so
Luther voice took care of itself. He ain't need all that.
You know, because I wasn't a huge, you know, concert up to that. I think the only other concert I've been to, I went to the Triple Threat Tour, which was Bell Biv DeVoe, Johnny Gill, and Keith Sweat.
That's a fire concert.
Keith Sweat didn't make it to, but I wasn't much of a fan of Keith because I didn't understand the value of begging for it at that time. You know, I was a youngster. Now that I understand the value of begging for it, of course, I'm a much bigger fan of Keith Sweat.
Let me ask.
You got to be able to sing to beg for it properly.
Facts.
I mean, but you know, Keith made a way out of nowhere as far as begging was concerned.
All right, man, let's get into Chris Brown. I think one of y'all said it earlier.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So the game was very upset about Chris Brown's performance being taken away. I actually saw they posted a video of what the show was going to look like, and it looked fire.
Yeah, Sierra was, I saw the 40, performance.
40th year for Thriller. But the game posted on IG, when they pulled Chris Brown official's performance for the AMAs, all hip-hop and R&B artists should have declined, too.
No,
but we'll never be that unified, and that's why they keep and will always use us, suck the culture dry, disrespect us in our faces and behind our backs. So Terry, you sound like you're already off of that. To that, you say what?
Because that's actually the first I heard of Game mentioning it. I would rather hear what Ja Rule has to say about the situation.
Wow,
I'm just playing, but
I need to hear what Ja Rule.
I'm cool on, I think this is an AMA thing, and it's whoever's the head and worried about what somebody says. My whole thing with Chris Brown is, when does he get his grace to go ahead and move forward with his career?
You know, he won an award and they still took.
Yeah, and Kelly Rowland had to take up for him because they were booing him in the crowd. I mean, he absolutely made a mistake when he was 17, 18 years old, right?
Big mistake.
Big mistake. By this time, though, he's still making music, and I think he's proven himself as a man, personally, I think, because there was a couple of people that tried to set him up and get him involved in some BS, and that turned out not to be what was up.
I agree. You know what I'm saying? I agree with that.
My whole thing with his situation is, unfortunately, he could have been that entertainer that could have held a candlestick to Michael Jackson.
Oh, he's
and he kind of fumbled that bag.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to take anything away from him, and I feel like they're doing him kind of dirty, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially at this point in his career.
Let me
ask. This is way far advanced from what happened back in, what year was that? 05, 06?
Or 06, 07?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. He was a kid.
Let me ask you this. I agree with what you said, first of all, because, I mean, Chris Brown is, what, mid-30s now? Early 30s?
Early like 30s, that. Yeah.
And I think the brother understands the magnitude of what he did, understands it was wrong. And, you know, at this point, it's like, come on, man. This was a dope tribute, 40 years of Thriller, like everything's perfect. And he's the only person equipped to really do this.
Yeah, and my whole thing is, you have to have that same energy for other artists as well.
That's fair.
Because if anybody else showed up on that stage that didn't look like Chris Brown,
right,
they're going to let them perform and do what they need to do,
right,
to honor whatever artist that's being honored. And I know it's been done before. I just can't think of any names right offhand that were in some trouble, and they're still granted that opportunity to perform.
Let me ask you this, though. Piggybacking off you know, the part about him not being able to perform. What do you think about what the game said? Is there truth to the strength in numbers concept if people were to, you know, quote unquote boycott? We've been through boycott the Grammys. We've been through.
Yeah, that's true.
But do you think there's some validity to that? Because I actually like what he's saying in terms of, you know, sometimes artists, they don't band together like they should in certain instances. I think there's something there to that. What do you think about that?
I mean, there is some validity there, but I don't think other artists are going to band together and, I wouldn't say assassinate their career.
Okay.
Because you don't need the AMAs to succeed, just like you don't need a Grammy.
I like that.
I didn't know the AMAs were even on until because I remember, and the thing is, I'm not trying to dismiss the AMAs. I remember when that was a thing, because it used to come on like Tuesday or Wednesday night. I remember just
all of these award shows we used to watch as kids.
You know, and I'm thinking, at this point, doesn't anybody who works for Dick Clark Productions or whoever puts this on now, or ABC, understand that you don't put on anything during when they're playing football? Like, it's Sunday Night Football, dog. You're not going to win that rating spot.
Even I don't
if you're
care
trying
who
to,
you are.
Even if you're trying to do counter-programming.
Yeah.
But as far as Chris Brown is concerned, this is the thing with me. And I've said this when it concerns anybody. I don't want anyone's entire life to be defined by their worst moment.
Say it.
No. You know what? Once said, we're all, everyone in this room and probably everyone listening will acknowledge what he did was wrong. But at the same time, how are we just going to define him by that moment for the rest of his life? I remember when he came here. And there were people who were, quote unquote, trying to be righteous and say, I can't believe so many people are going to see Chris Brown.
Come on,
at the Pacer Stadium. Like I said, I never remember the name.
Pacer Stadium.
but I was thinking, like, first of all, like, what has he done something recently? And they were trying to, you know, has he done something since then to where he should be canceled, to where we should not support him if he makes good music that we enjoy?
Not to my knowledge.
You know, and they bring up stuff, and I was, and there was somebody, and I don't like to go back and forth with people on any social media. I was like, you know, they found out that that woman was lying. Because, like, what he did and what has happened since the Rihanna thing, it's made him an easy target.
Yeah,
so now he is falsely accused of things, people just automatically believe it.
Low-hanging fruit.
And then people, you know, it's like a lie travels around the world, you know, four or five times before the truth gets its shoes on. So there are people who are still looking down on Chris Brown because of lies that they heard and never heard the part where you come to find out the woman was lying.
Yeah.
Or like there was, you know, like I said, he was a young man, and it's look,
like
dude,
Terry
he,
said, 17.
Fam, he got a Lamborghini before his frontal lobe had completely formed. You know, that's not an excuse for what he did, but at the same time, I'm like, look, it wasn't that long after where Rihanna was going to the basketball games with him. She forgave him, but y'all can't.
They got together back together for a hot second.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, and I'm not saying that
after the Oprah interview,
that doesn't excuse, you know, what he did.
Right.
I mean, it's not about absolving him from what he did. That's not what
like, but my whole thing is like, okay, is it now that he's done it, are y'all going to hold that against? Because if you're going to do that, there's a whole bunch of folks.
I'm saying Hollywood is riddled with people that have done way worse crimes.
That you could.
I mean, we just got through talking about the whole Balenciaga ordeal.
Right.
So imagine how many people in Hollywood.
Right.
Or in the music business that are into that sick stuff,
like
that were probably sitting in the crowd booing Chris Brown.
I want people to have the same grace for Chris Brown that they have for Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
Ooh, that's tough.
Because don't get me wrong, Robert Downey Jr. Like if you know that's his story tough. Before, I remember when they announced him as Iron Man. I was like, oh, that's perfect because I know the comics, and there was one point where Iron Man had a substance abuse problem.
Bruh,
let's talk.
I was like, that was incredible.
But if you fast forward all the way up until Endgame,
he went from somebody that was literally, you know, on dope and falling asleep in people's houses after he broke into them
to
being the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Come on,
bro,
man.
You can't.
Charlie Sheen was out here with
doing
HIV.
Things.
Yeah.
Having sex with random women, whatever. He got a condom deal off of that. And I guarantee you they ain't dismissing him from no show.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So
the Robert Downey Jr. one, that's a good one because of how big Marvel is.
I just,
he's integral to Marvel.
People would have had the same, and we'll take it away from Chris Brown. The same grace we gave Robert Downey Jr., and I'm not here to down him because I'm glad he was able to turn it around.
He got it right.
And be able to live a productive and let his talent shine through. It's like, I wish we would have had that same energy for DMX. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because everybody was waiting on DMX to mess up again.
Because, Robert Downey Jr. was this close to being a cautionary tale, how Hollywood just sucks people up and spits them out. And all, because at one point, Robert Downey Jr. went from being a movie star to doing guest shots on Ally McBeal. And then he was messing up after that.
Yeah. Bro, people was laughing at DMX when he was going through trials and tribulations and some of the things
they were laughing at Robert Downey Jr. too. But at the same time, when it was time to give him an opportunity, because you got to understand, he wasn't even the biggest. When Iron Man came out, this is what a lot of people don't realize and remember. He wasn't the biggest star in that movie. The biggest star in that movie was Terrence Howard. He had just come off of two Oscar nominations.
True.
You know,
and he messed up his bag.
And no, but that was when they didn't look out for him.
But the Robert Downey Jr., to y'all point about how fast we forget, if we'll say, the first Iron Man to who he is coming off Endgame. Come on, man. You talking about he's beyond.
Go look at the IMDb. Like, Robert Downey Jr. hadn't been in a successful movie in well over a decade.
Yeah.
Okay. His career was over.
I ain't going to hold you, though. I'm not going to hold you. I like the Sherlock Holmes movies.
A lot of his movies. I like the due date with Zach Galifianakis. That movie's hilarious.
Yeah. I remember that.
The dude from what's the
Hangover?
Hangover.
Oh, okay.
The one that had the baby strapped to him.
I got you.
A movie called Due Date or whatever. That's a funny movie. But I don't dislike him, just like I don't dislike Chris Brown.
I see where you're going.
Like I said, I just want people, you know, for everyone. It just bothers me that we are still old. Like I said, he did his community service. He said, I'm sorry to his fans and the public. He said he clearly apologized to Rihanna because, like I said, they dated some more after that. And if you are holding on to this, if Rihanna could get past this and you can't, that's not about Chris Brown. That's about you.
100%.
You know, because how many women did he beat before Rihanna? And how many women has he beat since?
What you said.
His situation, unfortunately, was learned behavior from him seeing his mama get hit upside her head.
So I'm saying, trauma begets more trauma. Let that man live.
Yeah. Say that.
Like, and y'all need to, you know, if you just hate Chris Brown because you hate Chris Brown, then say that.
And see, and this is where it gets cloudy because you'll have people that will say, why don't y'all say this about this person or that person? I'm like, first of all the people that we are talking about made mistakes, tried to rectify the situation, shown remorse, and haven't really gone down that path since. Now, you got people that do stupid stuff back in the day. They'll consistently do stupid stuff here and there and continue to do stupid stuff. Those are two different types of people. Like, the people that actually have remorse and quote-unquote, to use my phrase, stay out the way, they've earned that. But there are some people that they just can't help themselves.
And you know what? If you're looking to cancel every artist, creative who has not done right by women at one point in their life, there's a whole line of people behind Chris Brown.
We had a whole president.
What type of president?
A whole president that everybody loved and are hoping that he gets back in the office.
Hey, they love his honesty.
That did some foul stuff.
Wrote a check about it.
Just saying. He was going to court during his presidency.
What Chappelle say? He said, I came outside and told y'all I'm using the system and it's rigged, and went right back into the house and started playing the game again.
Yeah.
That's facts.
So, I don't know. Look, shout out Chris Brown. Usually I don't care. Whenever the game says something, I'll be like, yeah, whatever, man. But, you know, if all of the hip-hop and R&B artists pulled out, it would have said something, but once again, we got to realize not only our power, but the lack of power that some of these platforms have. The American Music Awards is not what it was.
None of these
in
award
1987.
Shows are, unfortunately.
You know, and plus,
everybody knows
the American Music Awards. Like, that's not, I tell people, because I remember Kanye West, I hate to go back down.
Here we go.
Well, at one point, he was acting up when he didn't win an American Music Award. It was like, and Alicia Keys literally had to pull inside, it's not about artistic merit, it is about airplay and sales. That's how they tabulate who wins an American Music Award. Same thing with the Billboard Award. I don't know why everybody, like, when you when you get nominated for a Billboard Award, you know you're going to lose if you're in the same category as Taylor Swift.
That's why 50 Cent used to always talk crazy. He's because he was like, man, I'm the guy at the Billboard Award.
Hey.
Yeah.
Ain't no different than a Nickelodeon Award at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, you know.
And 50 was. No, I mean, he had every right to be because, like, yeah, I'm really that guy, because he was number one for real.
No, because, like, you know, if you look back on it, how do you not give 50 Cent, for all those records he sold, how do you not give him Best New Artist, you know, that year
Who got it that year?
It's probably somebody that's not doing anything right now. And, I, you know, I'm saying that without research.
Nah, but they, whoever that was didn't deserve it over him. I don't care who.
I'm sorry. Nobody deserved Best New Artist over 50 Cent.
Nah, they did.
Shout out to McAlades, who's in the chat, who says nobody will be famous anymore because they all got skeletons in their closet. People just pick and choose. You right?
No, because people, you know.
Long
just,
said that Buddy should have got a condom deal, rightfully so.
Long, I mean,
he
said
didn't
that.
Use them.
Yeah, he didn't.
Charlie Sheen, we're talking about. He didn't use them at
Long,
all.
You got to use the product, brother.
Yeah, so, I mean. It's all fine and dandy. I just think it's weird how certain people get
Chris
special.
Brown is still a punching bag all these years later.
Other people get special attention and favors and things like that.
Can you hit the I don't care for Long? Because he said it's again.
I can't right now. We're having technical difficulties with the stream.
Yeah, don't be hitting extra buttons.
I don't want to mess up nothing. And Long said Bubba Sparks for the record.
What did Bubba Sparks do?
I mean, the joint he had with Timberland was cold, but it wasn't 50.
But what did he do?
Nothing.
Is he saying who won Best New Artist? I hope that's not what he's saying.
We gotta fact check that. Bubba Sparks.
But you know what? Shout out to Bubba Sparks because that Deliverance, the second Bubba Sparks album.
Yeah, that was good. Incredible. Bubba Sparks could rap though.
But Timberland laced him too, so he had a nice little cushion to lay on when he was rapping.
I think wasn't Bubba Sparks in Def Jam Fight for New York? The fighting game.
That's a long question.
You know what's crazy is like
if it wasn't Bubba Sparks, man. It can't be. No. It couldn't have been Bubba Sparks.
If you're a video game head and you have a copy of Def Jam Fight for New York in your closet somewhere, because it was on original Xbox, PS2, and I think GameCube,
yep.
It's worth that, and you still have the box too. It's worth about $150 between
really,
because it's one of those games that can never be re-released because of the music and the licensing
clearing and all that.
Yeah, and so So I mean, it's a game where Joe Budden can beat up you know, Noriega. You know, they're never good. Like, you could have a pole podcast war in Def Jam Fight for New York.
That's for real. That's for real.
You know, and they're never going to be able to, you know, you're never going to be able to clear Carmen Electra and Little Kim and Henry Rollins and Danny Trejo.
That's a wild game.
That
was definitely a wild game.
You know, and Bone Crusher. You're not going to be able to clear all that ever again. I went looking for a copy, and they were like, no, we don't have that.
I think I might have one for GameCube somewhere.
Y'all want to go ahead and shout out to
let's go ahead and hit our partners up real quick.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, man, let's talk about one of J Diff's favorite artists. Talk about Future.
My artist.
What Future did?
Well, he had an interview, and I took a passage out of his interview. The lead says Future finds melodic songs easier to make than rap records. You don't say.
Hey, look, I can't hate on that song he's got with Timbs.
That's a great record.
We're
going to get to it because I got some questions. This is his quote. He says, songs like Wait For You, I can make those in my sleep. He says, but I had to make a certain kind of music to go along with my career and everything that was going on at the time. I was capitalizing on different moments and creating from whatever was going on at that time in the world and my personal life. I was taking the energy from that and making music. But those melodic songs, I make those easy. So He's talking about, what I hear is someone is talking about trying to make records as it relates to things that are going on. Mm-hmm. I guess in the world at the time, Molly Percocet, and he's capitalizing off different moments and creating, you know, whatever goes with the times. Our parents listened to, they talked about stuff that was reflecting the times, which they did. Especially JB's the first one that comes to mind. Everything was about what was going on. Marvin was like that.
Mm-hmm. Temptations did something.
Temptations, exactly. But you have younger kids and young artists that'll say, Future's the same thing. He did stuff that was reflecting the times. Jay Moore, I'll come to you. What do you say to him basically saying, I'm just going along with the times and riding the wave. That's the music that I make.
You know what? He's absolutely right. I can't hate on it because sometimes, you know, some people make moment music, but they can't move to the next moment. He's been able to go from like the trap to, you know, music. He's got, you know, joints with Rihanna, you know, being able to be a part of the Afrobeats movement. You know, I did not think Future was going to have this long of a career just because I always talk about how everybody's got, it's like high school. You got 4 years to really make your mark.
Shelf life.
And, you know, and now we're talking about Future well into a decade, if not more, of his career.
You know what? I agree with. I can't. That's so, not cap. I agree with.
Regardless of what you think about his music, he's found a way. You know, say okay, I'll do these songs with Drake. I'll do these songs with, you know, that's moment music. Everyone tries to do moment music, right? And you know, we can say it's disposable. Like I said, we talked about the whole creating art versus creating product,
right?
You know, but some people are very good at creating product, and that's what moment music is a lot of times. You know, like I said, what do you think about Future? He has figured out a way to extend his moment and go from moment to moment to where some of his contemporaries, the people who were out, you know, I remember the first time I heard Tony Montana. I was like, man, if you don't get this out of here.
That was my initial reaction.
You know what I'm saying? But then I saw how it moved in, you know, because I just like, who's making Scarface references at this point?
The first guy I did a song with on Racks on Racks on Racks, you don't hear nothing from that dude. You heard that song, that was it.
And then he had the song, like, the Turn Off the Lights. I was like, are y'all really still doing this? Hey, and man, mind you, that's, and at this point, that's
that was a big record.
That was a big, I remember, you know, that was a 929 record. 929's been closed well over 10 years at this point.
Bro, that was a big record.
You know, so now, you know, for my Indianapolis people, that's what I was referring to. Y'all don't know about 929. But I'm just good saying, here it is more than a decade later, and Future is still he's nominated for Grammys this year. He is still, you know, moving the culture.
Still relevant.
So, shout out to 21 Savage.
Future's still relevant. Now, you can't take that
from him. No one's trying to take that from him.
Just because I don't like him, don't mean he ain't relevant.
Thank you.
So, you know, I, as somebody who sees how culture moves in real time because of, you know, my profession and what I'm out here doing, I can't be mad at Future for figuring, making a way out of no way. It is what it is, because most artists can't do it. A lot of artists are still trying to do the same thing they did 5-6 years ago, and they can't figure out why they can't catch another one.
Jada, what you think, bro? What you think? I know me and you on the same page as it relates to Future, the artist. I'm talking about, you know, the product. But what do you think about outside of that? Because, I mean, I have a point.
I mean, I think he does have a point as far as catering to his fan base, of course, and they like when he does melodic stuff too. I don't mind the melodic stuff. Mm-hmm. The Tim's track with Drake is good. Mm-hmm. You know, but as far as him being the artist that he really thinks he is, he's not, because I mean he's literally running with a dumbed down version of technically himself. He came from the
Dungeon Family.
Dungeon Family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We all know who his counterparts are and who his OGs are.
I still don't understand that one.
He might be related to Rico Wade or somebody. You know, alone said most successful member out the Dungeon Family. That would have to be Outkast.
Yeah, thank you, sir. And definitely,
they're
a lot more successful
than
don't get carried away long
than Future. But I mean, I got to give him his props as far as him being able to capitalize on his mainstay and providing something that his fans can actually dig. I just can't personally get it.
You know,
but he's doing his thing.
You know what's weird to me is the last line where he talks about it's easier to make melodic music than I can actually make a rap song. Now,
his whole
thing is melodic.
It may not be what you think of being.
I mean, it's auto tune.
Yeah, it's auto tune. But what I'm saying is, this is the dynamic here is when we talk about categories and how you categorize things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there will be people that will say, the dude that just said, I'd rather make melodic songs because they're easier than me actually making rap songs, might be looked at as one of the best on a certain list, one of the best hip hop artists. You see what I'm saying?
That's where he's nominated at, though. He's nominated as best hip hop artist. He's not going to make it into another genre of being nominated just because he's making a melodic sounding song using auto tune.
I'm a believer.
I'm just not going with that.
I've always been a believer of. I've never been opposed to a sub genre being created. I've never been opposed to that. A lot of people are saying you're taking away their actual hip hop status or whatever.
Yeah, but
from
the thing about that is you'll be going down a long rabbit hole of artists because you have to separate so many different people. And I feel you on a sub genre as well too, because like
for example,
Anderson .Paak. I don't really consider Anderson .Paak a rapper.
Nor do I.
What do I classify him as though? Maybe like a hybrid R&B.
Pop, R&B. He's a musician, first of all.
He's a musician. So, I mean, and it's kind of the same way I see, what's Cowgirl?
Doja Cat.
Doja Cat raps, but she has a more pop appeal.
I agree.
I don't see Future having that same appeal as far as pop crossover, so to speak. Maybe he does have pop. I don't know. I don't hear it. It's not the same way as Drake. He does it when he's with Drake, but as far as a whole album for the Future is more so not pop. It's more so not necessarily street. Maybe popular street,
mm-hmm.
but not pop in the sense of NSYNC and maybe even like Eminem. You know what I'm saying? I think Eminem could have crossed over.
His music was popular.
Yeah, he ruled the TRL era.
He got the numbers to prove it, too.
Come on now.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's I agree with Lone on one end when he says genres are meh. He says it's none of it really matters.
It doesn't.
I get that, but what I'm saying is I can openly say that this just might be the bias or the purist in me saying that I wouldn't mind seeing it just to kind of divvy it up. So I can admit that.
Look, I remember just going into categories and. We'll probably talk more about the Grammys as they get closer.
Right.
But I remember the year Confessions came out.
Great album.
Confessions was the Thriller of its time. I'll say that.
Ooh.
No, I'll say that because once again, Confessions sold like 12 million copies when people had access to CD burners.
You know what?
It's right at the front of that.
You might be right, sir.
So, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing something off of Confessions. And you know what? When it came time to nominate it for Grammys, he got two little R&B nominations.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He should have got Album of the Year.
But when it was time and shout out to Future Sex Love Songs. I like that Justin Timberlake record.
Yeah. I did too. That record
was like his first two albums.
They nominated him for Record of the Year in Pop, this, that, and the third.
Justified.
And I'm like, as good as that was, did you see how many records he sold over here? Do you see how many number one pop songs are over here? But you don't nominate him for any pop records?
Right.
It's just sometimes they see us and they'll be like, all right, whatever. Let's nominate him for R&B song and R&B album. Like, when I looked at the list, I was like, okay, I like what they did for the Beyonce nominations.
Right.
Put her in the dance category.
Right.
Put her in Album of the Year. Now, this is the thing.
I mean, it's Beyonce.
But it's But you see what they do to Beyonce every time she shows up and they nominate her they give her the R&B awards and they send her on her way.
True.
You know, and so like when I saw, oh, wait a minute. It's a year where Taylor Swift and Adele put out records.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm thinking, if I'm Beyonce, do I even show up?
Look,
because I'm not showing up.
I know,
because
Beck
might have
snuck one in on us. Because you know Beck win every time he's in there.
Beck gonna get that album.
You're not gonna 0-for-8 me like you did my husband.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Facts. Let's try to squeeze this last one in. Let's talk about the possible Twitter implosion. Right. You know I got to use the air quotes.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah.
My angle was going to be: does this have any impact on artists or creatives? Because no,
there's other sites called Instagram and Facebook and TikTok that work just as fine as Twitter does.
Jay Moore, I see you. I see you. I'm gonna use him as an example. You're on Instagram. I see you on Instagram.
But I'm on Twitter.
But you
too.
Get your bar. You get your bar. You get a lot of your bars off, quote unquote, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And don't nobody care.
That's what I was looking for.
I'm not trying to be saying, but I
that's
be,
what I was looking
be,
for.
With the knowledge on Twitter.
Don't nobody care.
Don't nobody care.
Okay.
Look, this is the thing with Twitter. It's going to be just fine. It just will not be an app that can be used by advertisers. Like, the only people who are going to want to stick with Twitter as far as advertising are FanDuel and what is the other one? Sports, you know, all these sports, MGM betting.
Gambling and all that.
I see more advertising for gambling apps than I see anything else. I can't go through my timeline. I can't look at my replies without every three tweets being something about online gambling. And what's crazy is, like, these are, when you, especially when you watch football or any sport at this point, when you see all these gambling apps, like, gambling isn't even, I think it's less than half of the states in the union that allow online gambling. Like, I wanted to place a bet when I was in St. Louis.
Are you balling?
Certainly not. and, you know, like, because of course it got to check your GPS of where you're at. It's like, nope, cannot place a bet here. Like, you can when you're in Indiana. You can enter a little fantasy lineup, but you cannot actually say, I want to put $5 on the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat whoever. Now, I'm not putting no money on the Pittsburgh Steelers this year because I know better, but I'm just saying that when you look at, as far as these big corporations, especially if did you see what happened with Eli Lilly? Keeping it local.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Eli Lilly and, a Nintendo, they had a Mario throwing up the finger.
Yeah.
They, what else? It was something else crazy that happened. Because people were just getting verified accounts.
Yeah.
And the name of it is the company. The at handle is something different. But people were just looking at that name and the verified and running with it like, oh, my God.
So wait a minute. Yeah. So I can cause a change in valuation of millions of dollars just because I spent $8. The wild, wild west, and not in a good way.
Long says it will have impact if it goes away. He says it will have impact if it goes away.
You know
away.
What it'll impact?
Huh?
These companies that are going to black Twitter, learning to what find to out doing what's and how to advertise their products.
That's a good angle. I didn't think about it like that. That's a good angle.
Because you know what Twitter will do? Look. I remember when I got rid of cable. I cut the cord. And I was like, how am I going to live without my DVR and being able... And you know what happened? Like 2 weeks in, I figured it out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Twitter. Everyone's going to figure it out. You'll post a trailer for your movie somewhere else. And these other companies, they will pivot to a way to they'll make sure that you can get your content or make whatever... Look... I don't know why anybody would invest in Twitter in the first place. The company it loses money every day that it's open.
He pretty much had to do it just to prove that he can do it.
More about him being able to say, I agree.
If you bought Twitter just so you can get Donald Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene back on, I've never seen somebody set $44 billion on fire like this. Right. And you know what? If you really about that life, let Louis Farrakhan back on Twitter. If you really about that freedom life.
You know who I think is going to affect?
Trump just made it back on there.
You know who I think is going to affect also is what we talked about, artists and creatives or whatever, but I think sports journalists are going to be affected because this is the avenue where they can actually... I ain't gonna say Cook.
Woj
and
Darren Revelle.
Those people, I get Woj bombs when he talks about the NBA and big trades and stuff. He's credible. Chris Haynes, reporters like that. If Twitter were to go away, there's a set of people in sports that would be extremely affected by it.
But if those people reporters. Said, hey, you know what? We're not doing this because someone else confirmed a LeBron James trade that wasn't really and it wasn't really me, they'd be like, go ahead and follow me on Instagram if you want the actual information.
Telling you.
Go ahead and follow me on TikTok. Once again, none of this is actually that important.
Zuckerberg and Instagram, does he own both of those?
Yeah, it's all under the Meta. Instagram,
they'll pretty much just create a Twitter version on one of those two platforms.
The same way they did
TikTok.
The same way they're like, okay, that's what TikTok is doing. Oh, now our stories can be a minute.
That's what I'm saying. They pretty much took the format that TikTok used.
Oh, Vine?
And brought it over to Instagram. Oh, we got Instagram stories.
Like they find a way to usurp pretty much anything that anybody
takes
eyes off of their platform.
To Long's point, it's literally where the real journalists live. It is. Like, this is where stories break. And, you know, I love Instagram, and I think Instagram is, you know, overall probably more popular. Long would know the numbers. But as it relates to journalists and people breaking stories, those Woj bombs that happen on Twitter, those are different.
Well, no, I think,
you know what I'm saying? The reporters that are on there and can actually voice their opinion in those characters, that's a little bit different from using Instagram as a medium or TikTok or whatever, just in my opinion.
Because one of the things that I will say that Twitter has done is, like, you know, when the police send out a report, mm-hmm. and instead of us actually just believing a police report, there are people on the ground who'll be like, nope, didn't happen like that. Oh, the situation unfortunately happened in Colorado.
Right.
You know, without Twitter, I wouldn't have known that one of the people that apprehended the gunman, you know, unfortunately, because the cops show up and get it wrong.
Well, the Citizens app does that.
They put him in the back of the car for an hour, not knowing, you know, I wouldn't know so much about what's going on in Iran right now.
Right.
I wouldn't know, you know, how bad they messed up, you know, when all those kids were shot in Texas. You know, a lot of those stories get out because of Twitter. Because right. People who are there in real time can say, no, that's what the police are telling you is wrong.
Lone says IG is irrelevant. And I'm sure he has numbers to.
No, he's right.
in
a way, he's right. Because you know what? IG wants to charge you for people to see for people you already know who follow you
right.
to see. Like, I posted something. Like, first of all, IG knows they know what a flyer is.
Sure.
They have an algorithm. So I posted something. I was like, if I post me and a picture of a puppy.
Yeah.
You know, that's clearly not advertising anything.
Right.
It'll get 150, 200 impressions. And I can look at the, you know, exactly what it is. But if I post a flyer for a party I'm doing tomorrow night, I was like, how is it only 15 people and the same 15 people saw this?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Playing the algorithm game.
The algorithm game, the fact that none of the stuff. At one point, everything on Instagram was in order of when it was posted. Honestly, Instagram really is kind of useless at this point.
Mm.
I mean, TikTok isn't in order either, honestly.
It'll
keep showing you the same thing sometime. Like, if you liked something.
Yeah, based on what you like.
It'll tell you to watch it again. The same exact video.
We all being, what they say, what Kyan said, being programmed with these algorithms are programmed.
Yeah.
I see ads pop up. As soon as I click on something, it's like, I'll go to something else. There's an ad for what I just clicked on a totally different.
The only way to stay away from any of this programming. So, and this is the thing I don't get about people that I always talk about the program.
Uh-huh.
Is they continue to use these same platforms.
That is doing the program.
Or they're trying to get you to move to another platform.
Right.
That in the long game is going to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, I don't understand why you're so into, oh, it's programming. Right. But come over here because we're not programming. You're just programming in a different way. It's a different code.
What you said is that's the ultimate answer is to remove yourself. I'm talking about completely. It. That's the ultimate answer. If not, you're going to be quote unquote programmed and influenced by anything just like anybody else. We all are. I'm not about to sit up here and say, yeah, I'm on social media, but I ain't programmed like y'all. That's bull. Like, I would be capping if I said that.
Yeah.
Like, we all scroll. We all play the scroll game. We all watch.
My daughter
is
3 and she scrolls.
That's what I'm saying.
On YouTube.
Yes.
But she's still scrolling.
She's scrolling. Yep. That's going to do it for this episode. Shout out to the chat, man. The chat has been very active and actually laughing at us a lot. Smooth Hoosier was showing out tonight. We see you. You'll be better next week. You'll be more positive next week. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need. If you see New Old Heads, like, subscribe, you know, pick a tier on Patreon. We appreciate that as well.
We also, real quick, may be early next week. It may be a Sunday or Monday show. Just put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got some schedule conflicts, so we'll try to put it in Discord and reach out to, you know, all of you all that we know. But we will be a little early next week. But we appreciate the support as always. Shout out to the homie Lone. Continue to enjoy your days off, brother. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.